That's chapter 11.
And we're going to read three verses in the chapter, words of Lord Jesus. In verse 28, he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." And so tonight we want to speak on the topic of finding rest for our souls. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you once again for your word. We thank you for the rest that we can have in you. We just pray you would help us to understand this rest, and that we would find it, experience it, and enjoy its blessings. We ask this all tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we see here he talks about rest and this idea of rest for our souls. And we kind of have an understanding that, physically speaking, that our bodies need rest, that there's only so much that we can do. We understand in terms of our health that sleep and rest is necessary for us to, our bodies really to kind of heal and recover so that we can continue to function well. But we want to think not just in terms of rest for the body, rest for the soul. And that there's different things that, as we'll see, that are going to kind of wear us out, weigh us down. And so we need to find rest. And so kind of want to look at this from four different aspects. And first we want to understand our need for rest. We see what Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." And so we see his invitation, and it's all of us that fit this description. He calls us to him. And in many ways, I think we would recognize that this is not just for a select few, that this invitation of his is really in many ways all-encompassing. And it talks about us that we labor and are heavy laden. And labor we define as an exertion of strength which occasions weariness. We can understand that very much with physical labor. I know with boys and I this past week shingling that house that there was a lot of physical labor involved in that, and we definitely would grow weary from that. And I think any of us where we do specifically manual labor, we get tired out over time. But I think we want to really understand that there can be times where there's an exertion, not just physically, but also mentally and emotionally, right? Where we're dealing with certain things, we're kind of at our wit's end trying to figure out what to do. We try to come up with a solution, and it's still not there. And we can grow very weary in that. I think as well, a lot of times where we really grow weary, and we can think of this in terms of the physical, but as well the mental and emotional, is where we work hard and the job is not complete, or we fail to achieve our desired goal. That sometimes where we're doing something, we're not paying attention, and we realize that we've done it wrong and we have to start over again. And so there's times where we find that, where we look at our labor as being in vain. We don't accomplish what we hoped, and it's kind of the thing, there's always that feeling like you work hard, you labor, when you get the job done, it's like rest, relax, look back on what you accomplished, right? But where you get to the end of the day and you haven't accomplish what you hope for, right? That instead of being this kind of time of rest, it just further puts us in a place of mental, emotional, and physical exhaustion. And we realize we can grow weary in our labor for many different reasons. Sometimes we find we grow weary in our labor because we're laboring for the wrong things. We see what Jesus said, that we're not to labor for the meat that perisheth, but for that which... I should just read it there so I don't misquote it. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. And so that's the thing, is that there's things that we can labor for that perish. And we see how it talks about in Proverbs 23, we're not to labor to be rich. Because riches are as they make themselves wings, they fly away as an eagle toward heaven. And we can, I think, many times experience that, where we earn some, we have some bills to pay, and we think we've gotten to a point where, okay, we're doing good, and then suddenly something else happens, and then we have more bills to pay. And so we see that, but we can be laboring for the wrong things in life, and exerting ourselves, wearing ourselves out, and it's not accomplishing anything. It's not accomplishing anything of true lasting value. And so I think many in this world can, and us included, can fit in this category, where we're exerting ourselves so much for what really doesn't count. But as well, I think, too, is that we can grow weary in our labor when we labor in the wrong way, when we're laboring in our own strength and wisdom, where, especially when we're trying to do something in the Lord's work, that we can try to do it ourselves, try to figure it out on our own. But when we serve the Lord in our own strength, we're going to wear ourselves out, and it doesn't... it's not going to accomplish what we hope that it will. And so we see that we find ourselves, he calls all we that labor, and so we often find ourselves laboring and exerting ourselves mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually, and wearying ourselves by that exertion. But also talks, ye that labor and are heavy laden. And to be heavy laden is the idea is to be put under a burden. And so I think all of us can think of times where we've had to carry something heavy. And there's always that thought that something physically, that you kind of carry it for a bit, and it could be quite heavy, but there's always that expectation that, okay, you're going to be able to set it down somewhere. And it's always a little bit difficult when you're expecting to be able to set it down and you can't, and for whatever reason. And you're expected to try to hold that. That I think any of us, it's the thing is that we can usually lift something up, but a lot of times what it is, if we have to actually hold it there for a long time, that is what really can wear us out. And we can understand that physically, but much more I think we want to recognize that mentally and emotionally, that there's burdens that we carry that a lot of times are hard for us to bear, different things that we're concerned about, worried about. Sometimes it can be other people we're concerned about, and it can be difficult, and we can find ourselves in life being heavy laden, that there's often much that we carry on our shoulders that weigh us down. From the Bible, we recognize that sometimes there's the burdens that we carry are placed on our shoulders by others. We think of what Jesus said of the Pharisees, and part of his really his frustration that he articulated of them, and he says of them that they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. And really we kind of think that in terms of all the different laws and extra laws that they added to God's law, and trying to tell them that we have to do this and this and this in order to be righteous, but they would never actually help a person in carrying those. And sometimes we can experience that. Sometimes we have the burdens of others' expectations placed on us, things that sometimes things they should carry, but then they unload on us, and that can be very difficult. But as well, we realize sometimes we place burdens on our shoulders ourselves, and we choose to carry things. We hold on to different cares and worries. We know we're supposed to cast them upon the Lord, but a lot of times we don't, and we hold on to them, and we struggle through carrying these burdens. And but there's things that just they grip us emotionally, and we don't know what to do. But it's something that we see. This is Psalm 38, verse 4. It says, "For mine iniquities are gone over mine head as an heavy burden. They are too heavy for me." And we really want to understand that sin is a burden to all of us. And with the burden of sin comes a burden of guilt and shame. That weighs us down. We think in Pilgrim's Progress, the main character Christian, how he had this great burden on his back, and he wanted to get that burden taken off. And it wasn't until he came before the cross that the burden fell away. But it's the thing is that really this can be a problem that we can recognize, and as we look in Matthew, we can definitely see a gospel application to it, that all of us are sinners, all of us, because of our sin, are burdened down with guilt and shame, and we can spend much labor trying to make things right, trying to fix things, trying to somehow do enough good works to cancel out the bad that we've done, trying to make up for it if we could. But we still have this burden. We can't get rid of it. We're heavy laden down. Sometimes our solution is try to shift the blame to someone else. Try to claim that it's not my fault, that we don't take responsibility. But of course, that never works. And so in that same sense, we see from this, Jesus calls us to come to Him, that He's the only one that can really relieve us of that burden of sin and guilt and shame. That it isn't, that our salvation is not of works, it isn't by our labors, it's by the work that He did for us on the cross. And so it says we come to Him. And so we want to understand that we have a need for rest. Rest for our souls. And he calls us to come to Him so that we can find that rest. So we want to recognize our need for rest, but then we want to get a sense of what it means, this idea of rest for our souls. And kind of from the context here, we see that to have an experience rest is to essentially to cease from our labors and to be able to set our burdens aside. And you think of that when you get to the end of a hard work day, where you can, I know for us, we're kind of, each day that when we got done, and especially when we got done the job as a whole, where it's like we don't have to carry shingles around, we don't have to be up on the roof, we can get down in the cool, and it's a relief. It's a time really where to have time for recovery, recuperation, just an opportunity just to appreciate what has been accomplished, and just be able to take that time physically, mentally, emotionally, just to have a sense of finality and completeness and calm. And so that's what we desire to have when we understand that. We can understand in terms of our body. Much more we understand we want to have that for our souls. And it's the thing is that emotionally that and mentally that we don't have all these things that are just kind of crowding in and overwhelming us, that we're able to set them aside and really have that relief. And it's the thing that we want to understand, that that rest is possible for us. But the challenge is a lot of times we try to seek it in ways that don't really work. So often what happens, our idea of rest is to find some way to escape from our problem for a time. That we don't actually deal with or solve the problem. We just find something that's going to push it out of our mind for a time. And there's many different substances and behavior that really are temptations for us in this time, that we think, oh, this can be my coping mechanism, my way of just getting relief from this for a time. That's so often, like we think people might have drinking problem or drugs or other things like that. That so often that's what it's for. It's just trying to escape, that they're burdened down by so many different things in life, and it's a way to forget for a moment. But of course, it's never a solution, because of course what happens? You wake up and all your problems are still there, and from what you've done the night before, you probably have a few more that you've added to your problems, and then you've got a hangover as well, right? Like it doesn't solve the problem. It pushes it away for a time, and you don't find rest for your soul that way. It's not what the solution is, but that's a lot of times what many do, and that's really why we see Jesus says, come to me, because I want to give you what you need. You're going to all these other things and not helping you. They're not providing you what's necessary. And so he wants us to come to him. But I want to understand, too, with this, that rest is possible. And this rest for our souls, a lot of times we kind of think of it as just a short place that we can briefly stop. That often when you are on a major highway, traveling through, that you'll see at the side of the road there'll be these rest areas, right? And they're places where if you're tired, you can pull over, you can fresh yourself a bit. There might even be some snacks you could get. You could sleep for a bit. But I know with pretty well all of them, it's not a place you're supposed to stay for a long time. There's the expectation that, okay, there's no overnight camping in a rest area like that. You're really supposed to only stay there for a few hours, and then you're supposed to be back on your way. And that's kind of sometimes what we think that it is that we get some rest for a bit, but then we have to get right back into the thick of things. And so those times of rest seem to be so short and not really what we need. But we want to understand that the rest that God wants to give us, it isn't just this place that we briefly stop. It's a place that God wants us to dwell in. And we see that in Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, and he's speaking in terms of kind of using the children of Israel and their wanderings in the wilderness, and their failure to enter the promised land as really an illustration of this principle. And they weren't able to enter into the promised land. And we want to understand this promised land that God had for them was this place of rest. And so we see in verse 1, it says, let us therefore fear lest our promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. And so there's a warning that we don't want to miss out on the rest that God wants to give us, the rest that He's got provided for us. It says, verse 3, "For we which have believed do enter into rest, as He said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although His works were finished from the foundation of the world." And so it's a thought that He wants us to enter into rest. And we see in verse 8, "For if Jesus had given them rest, then we'd not afterward have spoken of another day. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." And so there is this rest that remains to the people of God. There is really this promised land that He has for us. And in the Bible, sometimes we make the mistake of misinterpreting this idea of the promised land as being heaven. But really, we want to understand that it rather is to be interpreted as being the victorious Christian life, the life that He wants us to experience. And it's a place we don't just kind of visit once in a while. It's a place he wants us to dwell in. And that's the sad thing, is a lot of times we are like the children of Israel. We're wandering around in the wilderness, and we just keep going and going, and we never come to a place where we can actually dwell and rest and be at home. And so that's what He wants to get us to. And a lot of times, the reason why we're not there, it's not His fault, it's our fault. But we want to realize that's what He wants for us. Where we don't labor and grow weary and then come to a place of rest for a short time and then quickly have to go back into the fray. That no, He wants us to function from a place where we have rest for our souls. And so we want to learn that and understand that if we're not in a place of rest, we're missing out on what He has for us. And we really can kind of think of that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we see what Paul says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." That it can actually be that sometimes we can be worn out physically, but yet be renewed mentally, emotionally, and spiritually if we're in the right mindset and in this place God wants us to be. And so we want to see that. And of course, what do we identify as the source of rest? We identify Jesus Himself as the source of rest. That if we come to Him, that He's the one that gives us rest. We learn of Him, we're going to find rest for our souls. We see in Psalm 116 in verse 7, where He says, "Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with me." That He is our rest, and we want to return to Him. And really, that's in many ways we want to understand it in that sense. He calls us to come to Him, but in many ways it's a call not just to come for the first time. Many times it's a call to come back to Him. That what happens is we kind of leave our first love, we depart from that closeness that we should have with Him. And so He's calling us to come back to Himself, to remember from where we're fallen and repent. And so we want to really understand that He is the source of our rest, and that we're not going to find rest in any other thing. And then that's really the thought with so many different things that are out there that people grab hold of to try to find relief from their struggles, kind of a forgetting of their burdens for a time, but never really a solution. That we want to recognize those things will never provide the rest that we need. Jesus is the only one that can do that. And so we need to come to Him. And so finally, we want to answer the question of how we find rest for our souls. And so we want to think of that in terms of three components kind of expressed here and in Hebrews 4 and other passages that really speak to what components we need to exercise in order to find the rest that we need in Christ. The first is faith, that we see what it says, that they failed to enter into the rest of God because of their unbelief. And we kind of see this, that God, Jesus calls us to come to Him, and He says, I will provide you rest, so we have to believe what He says and say, okay, I need to come to Him and accept what He has to say, that faith is always demonstrated by action. Faith moves us to come to Him. We see in, let's see, Luke chapter 10, in verse 39, we see that Jesus went into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received her into his house. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bitter therefore that she helped me. And so we see with Martha that she was kind of worked herself all into a dither, and was upset with her sister, and really kind of upset with Jesus too. And she thought everybody else had the problem, and she was wanting to serve, and that was good, but she was not, it wasn't anybody had asked her to, she was taking it on herself. She had cumbered herself with this much serving. And we see what Jesus said. She answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. That's the thing, is that so often we can get busy serving God and wearing ourselves out serving Him, and wondering why it doesn't seem that it's making a difference, doesn't seem that it's being appreciated. But really, we have to come to Christ, sit at His feet, hear His word, and really have His perspective and His guidance and His direction in our lives, and then from that serve. And when we do that, it's not going to be an overwhelming burden. Instead, it's going to be a blessing. And so we want to understand that we need to have faith, that we need faith enough to come to Him as a source of rest, where we stop trying every other thing out there until all options are proven to be failures, and then we finally turn to Him. That instead, no, we come to Him in faith and seek His help. Along with having faith in order to find rest for our souls, we also need obedience. And faith, true faith, always leads to obedience. And it's a thought that he says, he's basically saying, come to me, learn of me, take my yoke upon you, that these are things that he's telling us to do. And so we need to do as he commands. We see in Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16, where it says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. And that's the thing, that God has paths that we're to follow that will lead us to rest. And we're to look for them, we're to ask for them, and we're to walk in them. And as we do so, we're going to find rest for our souls. And really, we kind of think of that in just terms of different things that happen in life, that we have our reactions to them, whether it's frustration or anxiety or discouragement, despair, and God wants us, he lays out to us, okay, when these things happen, this is how you should respond. When someone does you wrong, you shouldn't get bitter, instead you should forgive them. When someone upsets you, you need to control your anger and let your discretion defer your anger. That it's, if things happen that start to worry you, what are we supposed to do? We're not to worry, we're to pray. And so there, as we follow what he says to us, we're going to find rest for our souls. But we see the end of that verse, there, as he lays this out, they said, we will not walk therein. And that's so often what we miss out on, because God's giving the prescription and we're refusing to follow it. We're like, well, I don't want that. Give me a different option. I want a second opinion. And he says, do what I say. I know what's best for you. And so it comes with trusting him and obeying him. We see in Proverbs chapter 19 and verse number 3, where it says, the foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. And that's a lot of times, is we get ourselves in a place where we work ourselves up into a dither and just don't know what to do. And a lot of times it's God's given direction and we've decided we're going to do our own thing. We have our own agenda, and we just, instead of us following what God wants, we have what we want, and we just want God to rubber stamp it. And when he kind of closes the door on different things, we get upset and we insist on our own way. And so that's what happens, that a lot of times our heart frets against the Lord, that we're saying, no, what's going to happen? And a lot of times that's the thing, is things happen we don't like, and we get upset about that. And really a lot of it is just learning to say, okay, God has allowed this to happen. Romans 8:28, I know that all things work together for good, so I need to trust him, I need to have peace, and just wait and see how he's going to work it out to my good. And so we need that. We need obedience to his word, to do what he asks us to do. A lot of times in terms of how he wants us to respond, that he has, makes it clear the way he wants us to respond. As we do that, then we're not going to get into that whole emotional and mental state of being so overwhelmed and upset. But as well, we understand, not only do we need, in order to find rest for our souls, do we need faith and obedience, we also need humility. That we see what he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And he is lowly, that we see the example of Jesus, of how so many times it's described of how he humbled himself. He humbled himself to become a man. As a man, he humbled himself to be a servant. And he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And so he had a great humility, a great lowliness, a great meekness. That people would mistreat him and he would not react in kind. He would just commit himself to him that judges righteously. And so really, we have to learn of him. We have to humble ourselves. We have to have a lowliness of mind. It's not where we're having this look at ourselves that's below what reality is. It's really getting a right picture. We don't tend to think too little of ourselves. Usually we tend to think too high of ourselves. And so we need to show humility before God, before others, and a lot of times is kind of having that humble acceptance of God's will for our life. That we think of Job, that he had a terrible tragedy, that basically all the animals on his farm were killed, And even in all his children were killed. But what do we see his response? That he mourned, but he also worshipped God. And he said, naked came out of this womb, naked shall I return thither. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And he didn't sin against the Lord or charge God foolishly. It was tearing him up inside, but you see his reaction, that it's like, okay, it's going to be okay. I'm going to trust the Lord in this. And so that shows a humility. And the thing is, too, is a lot of times a big source of our getting worked up in different things is because we are lifted up in pride, that we aren't really submitting ourselves to God's agenda for our life. We have our own agenda that we want God to just basically rubber stamp and have him do whatever we want and give us what we want. We tend to sadly look at God sometimes as some kind of cosmic Santa Claus, that we make a list and he's supposed to fulfill it, and if he doesn't, then we're upset. And really, that's a wrong view of things, that's not how it works, that we really need to submit ourselves, say, okay, I may have what I want. If God has something different for me, then his way is going to be better. I have to accept it. I don't need to fuss and fume. I just need to say, okay, Lord, I'm going to have to trust you in this. I'm going to humble myself, submit to your will for my life, and just see where you're going to take me in this, what lessons you're going to learn, or you're going to teach me through this. And so it's important that we learn that. But as well, too, that as we approach it with humility, it's really the thing is where we get to a point, because we've labored and wore ourselves out. We've carried burdens, and we can't carry them anymore. And so it comes to a point where we say to God, I can't do this anymore. I've tried, and I'm at the end of my strength, and so I need you to help me. And that's the thing, that it can be a hard thing to do, especially for us as men, to admit that we have come to a place of weakness. But really, that is key. It's the whole idea that Paul learned, that God's strength is made perfect in weakness, that he realized that when he was weak, when he was willing to admit his weakness, that's when he was strong, that's when God's power could really start to help him. And that's really the first step on the path to victory and change in life, is where we really come to that place where we are willing and have the courage to say, I need help. I can't do this by myself. And so it's the thought that as we do that something happens. And we see that he calls us to take his yoke upon us, and it says that his yoke is easy and my burden is light. And the yoke, of course, we recognize that it was a piece of wood that was fashioned to fit over the necks of two oxen. And he says, take my yoke upon you. And so it's the thing, is that when we come to him, when we submit to him, we allow him to lead us, that we yoke up with him, that we find that all this weight that we were pulling, what was so difficult to push along and what was wearing us out, suddenly is not a weariness at all. That what was such a heavy burden that weighed us down, it's light. And why is that? It's because Jesus is now pulling with us. And that's what he wants us to do. And when we have that we can function in that way, that we're not getting worn out because we're doing it in our own strength. Instead, that we're working with him. We're fellow laborers. And it's not a burden to us anymore. It's a blessing. It's a joy. It's a delight. And that's what the service of the Lord should be. If we're getting weary in well-doing, if we're getting burnt out in the service of the Lord, we're not doing it right. That we need to be functioning from that rest where we're trusting God, we're in submission to Jesus, we're humble, and we're following His lead, and He's enabling us to do what we need to do. And that's really, really the key. And of course, the whole thought of it, if that we're pulling together, if anybody gets to take the lead, it's not us, it's Him. And so we want to learn to submit to Him, pull with Him. You can just kind of think of how it would be if you had two oxen that were trying to pull in different directions. They just wouldn't get anywhere, right? And certainly if we're in yoke together with the Lord and we pull against Him, we're going to wear ourselves out pretty quickly. And I think that's sometimes I think we really want to realize that's why we're getting so worn out, is because we're trying to do our own thing and we're pushing against the Lord. And instead, if we just say, okay, I'm done fighting, I'm going to submit and go with You, and then we find life is so much easier. And so we see Psalm 55, verse 22, it says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. And so that's the thing, is that He wants us to enter into His rest. And that really comes where all these burdens, all these cares that we've carried for so long, that we say, I'm done carrying them. I can't anymore. I'm giving them to You. And we find that He can sustain us. He can help us. And that's what we want to experience. And really, in many ways, as we apply this in terms of the gospel, we recognize that's really how our salvation works. That we come to a point where we recognize that all our good works aren't going to do it for us. That we can't save ourselves. We can't get rid of this burden of sin and guilt and shame. We can't fix it. And so we come to Him in faith and obedience and humility. We cease from our labors and we trust in His labor on the cross. And when we do that, the burden that has weighed us down of so long is rolled away. And that's what God does for us. And He can do for any of us. And when we first trust in Christ as Savior, that's exactly what happens. But through our life, that we want to learn to be yoked up with Him. And when we find ourselves being worn out, really we have to stop and realize, okay, I'm off track. I'm pulling against the Lord instead of pulling with Him. I'm wearing myself out by not submitting and surrendering and trusting and obeying my Savior. And so we want to return to our rest. We want to come unto Him as He calls us. He sees us struggling and doing all that we're doing, and He has pity on us, and He just says, okay, it's time to stop. Just come to Me. Be yoked with Me. Humble yourself, and you're going to find the rest that you've sought for and never been able to find for so long. And so, in this, may the Lord help us. I think all of us find ourselves at different times at this place of emotional and mental exhaustion. And I think we've found ourselves there more than once. It's kind of like the children of Israel wandering in the wilderness. That just imagine 40 years wandering in the wilderness. There's probably going to be lots of places they ended up seeing over and over again that they got real tired of. And that's what can be our Christian life if we're not trusting in the Lord and walking with Him, that we can go around in circles and not get anywhere and get very frustrated. But instead, if we trust Him, if we walk with Him, that we find our rest in Him, we return unto Him who is our rest, then we will experience that rest for our souls that we desire.